Another year passes. Another World Economic Forum in Davos. And despite the meteoric success of this podcast, we still haven't been invited. Whatever. But that did not deter us. We discussed this week why the bear market structure in the S&P is still intact. And observed on finance Twitter a familiar zag, the idea that the emerging markets will outperform the U.S. over the next several years to a decade. And so, with the help of ChatGPT, we revisit a perennial favorite of this podcast, the question, will the emerging markets ever emerge? As ever, we are not investment professionals. This is not investment advice. Please don't listen to us, but please do enjoy this episode of Degenerate Business School.
Robert, I really need your expertise on something.
What's that?
This is important. The phenomenon of slap fighting. Ooh. Are you on to this at all?
I didn't watch the program, but I mean, I'm following it, you know, through the news as much as I can.
I've seen it online, and I got to be honest, it is mesmerizing, and it makes me hate myself, but I can't not watch it when it's on my Twitter feed. It's intoxicating.
Here's why I find this so fascinating. I watch UFC constantly, right? I see people get knocked out cold.
This is why I'm asking you.
On the regular. And I don't think I've cringed quite as much as watching a dude get slapped.
Oh my God, it's horrifying. But again, I can't look away. So I think it means I'm a bad person is what I'm getting at.
I just wonder if they do more than one round.
Oh yeah, they do. 100%.
I mean, do people survive the first?
Slap? What I've seen is you get slapped and you fall down, and then you have people behind you waiting to pick you up, and they pick you up going, "Yeah, oh, go." And after getting concussed, now it's your turn.
The point it's like the point is to get concussed. It's like something out of it's like a 1901 boxing match of some kind. Yeah, is it like best of five?
No, it's until somebody dies, I think.
Oh my God. Okay. Modern gladiators. Well, thanks for clearing that up. All right, so it's Davos week. And my favorite story from Davos. I love Davos for the unintentional comedy. That's my favorite. The two things that have been floating around about Davos, just for fun, a little icebreaker, is apparently 3,000 women of the night, prostitutes, descend on Davos every year, which is a fascinating statistic, number one. Number two, my favorite story coming out of Davos is Microsoft announced they were doing layoffs. I think it was 10,000 employees. And on the same night, their entire executive team paid for a concert at Davos featuring Sting. Here's my problem with it. If you're going to take the heat on PR, you got to get someone better than Sting. I mean, Taylor Swift, Bad Bunny, Ed Sheeran, someone good or someone relevant, someone really expensive.
Well, do you think that these old people want to see Taylor Swift? I mean, I would love to, but I'm also not invited to Davos.
Yeah. Also, where is our invitation? Which is offensive. I guess you're right. Was the average age of a Davos attendee's got to be what, 60?
Probably.
It's a Gen X play. It's a Gen X / boomer play.
Okay. I guess then
the police were big, mind you.
I guess, I mean, listen, Sting has some good music. I won't deny it. And the Police. So I guess, is he the pinnacle, though, for that age group? I guess he's pretty high up there.
Springsteen? No. But then he's like more working man guy, so maybe that doesn't work.
That's true. Sting is British, so. Yeah. Okay. All right. All right, fair enough. Okay, James, I have a question for you. This is the big buzz on FinTwit early in the week was the Bank of Japan and their yield curve control gymnastics and its potential impact on the U.S. bond market. What is happening in Japan? I couldn't understand any of it.
I think they're loosening the yield curve control, right? So they're letting it float a little bit. So then they're going to, you know, so they can take it up, at least to positive rates. They got positive rates now. So I think this means that there's going to be less liquidity in global markets.
Oh, because they'll be doing less bond buying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mechanically speaking. Interesting. Because they're worried about the currency. This is just the balancing act of the currency, save the currency versus bond market.
Yeah. So the yen's rallied.
Okay. All right. Got it. Thank you.
A little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think a lot of this, you know, a lot of this, the stimulus that we have, really, it's, you know, a lot of it's foreign markets too, with Europe and Japan. I mean, they're always kind of players in this too. And then they always come in and bring in more liquidity. So it's a coordinated effort by central banks. And finally, Japan's kind of on board with this tightening that everyone else is doing.
Okay. The other narrative I heard on FinTwit this week, the number one zag on FinTwit that I heard that we have tried before and has not worked, is this an oldie, but a goodie. That over the next several years, emerging markets will outperform the U.S. So, I swear, like five people said this, and all like people who manage money for a living. So, just to kick us off, first of all, we're early on everything without making money. That is the brand of this podcast. So here's what I did. I asked ChatGPT a simple question. Why have emerging market stocks underperformed the US? And here's what it had to say. I'm going to paraphrase the chat, but here's what it said. Number one, the US economy is just always outperforming other economies. Higher growth, lower unemployment, et cetera. Potential for higher returns. So that's the fundamentals. Point number two, the ongoing trade tensions between the U.S. and China stoking uncertainty. More recently, the monetary policy of the U.S. Federal Reserve, which has caused a flight to safety in the U.S., which also probably, James, you would say also just in general, there is no alternative to the U.S. stock market for foreign investors. Like, that's a risk-off trade as well. And general political and economic instability in emerging market economies. First of all, every time I use ChatGPT, I'm more and more impressed and more convinced it will take my job. Number two, I don't feel like any of those things will change over the next 5 years. Right? So is this like a perennial zag that sounds smart that people say? Because it's so elegant. Yeah, it's like, it's the smart thing to say. It's finally time for the emerging markets to emerge. But I think we need to rebrand it. It's kind of just like not good markets. Your reaction.
Isn't this like how many podcasts have we had before, episodes where we talked about this exact same thing and it never happens? And
it just never happens.
Alibaba or whatever and get destroyed. But I think with now, like, the valuations are so attractive, especially in China, that, and I think you've already had a run up.
Yeah.
So at that point, you are getting just dirt cheap pricing. And maybe some of the And if you buy European banks now, I don't know. I mean, that kind of works till it doesn't. You know, maybe short term it does, but I don't think it's going to be a multi-year kind of thing like we had, you know, in, I don't know, the first decade of the 2000s. I don't think it's going to be anything like that. But I think that there's such discounts right now that you can kind of get back to a normal level.
Well, I think it's popular because it's the parallel that everyone is drawing that I also plagiarized. It is probably in the market, the structure of the sell-off is it's like we are in the 2001 to 2003 analog time frame. So it's like time to get bullish commodities, emerging markets. So like overweight those and underweight tech, U.S. stock market leadership, etc. I mean, I get it, but none of the circumstances have changed. To your point, it's just like relative price, right? Robert, where do you side?
I mean, as we've seen, saying that the emerging markets will finally emerge has been a fool's errand. I mean, I don't think anyone's arguing that, but I think when you really think about what that actually means, right? So like we've established recently in the last year that the outperformance of the U.S. stock market in recent years has been a bubble.
Yeah, and a bubble, yes.
Right? So was it ever really warranted? No. Is it possible that we're just printing money faster than all the other emerging markets? Certainly. And every time we do, we weaken our currency, which strengthens their currency, which is favorable to us. More importantly, when you say like the U.S. is outperforming, right? Typically, we're talking about the S&P versus other key indices. But if you think about the emerging markets, like, could you tell me what it is that is their leading industry or their leading companies?
I can tell you,
probably for China.
China is tech.
Yeah, but if you think about like the economy of Europe, for example.
Not chocolate, right?
probably commodities, banking, and yeah.
Brazil, I know that anything in Latin America is basically going to be commodities.
Right. So are these things ever going to actually outperform?
Yeah. That's a great point. Well, that's where I always come down. It's like that you have no... James, you have no sexy exponential age technology. Like, it's almost like, okay, I know she's been ridiculed, and appropriately so. But I'll say this. Kathy Wood is not wrong about a certain premise, which is, I don't know if it's necessarily new at this point in time, but like when it comes to technology or innovation, that all those trends are exponential. So it becomes a winner take all construct. So it's like if the US and China are the only ones with high technology, then they could perpetually outperform in our lifetimes. Because like if you have artificial intelligence, and right now, just the US and China do, right, James, for all intents and purposes.
Yeah.
How could any other stock market ever keep pace just on the fundamentals if you ignored the bubble that you're talking about? So it's not a mean reversion. It's actually like over time, the strongest.
It's an escape velocity where like you'll never actually catch up.
Yeah. Doesn't matter how good the Chilean mine industry is doing.
Yes, that's why maybe, you know, like Baidu or all the AI companies that, you know, in China, the tech companies there, and then, you know, the big you know, Google, Amazon, and, you know, Tesla, those that do AI well so far, you know, might still be the ones. I think as far as emerging markets go, there's also something to be said about, you know, the consumer class, because they can move into the middle class. So that's another play if you want to play on like just growth. You know, you got GDP growth in America is like, you know, 2-3%, and in emerging market it might be, you know, 5-10%. So you're always playing that too. But yeah, to your point, they're really, you know, it's kind of slim pickings. You really gotta be selective, as all those equity people go on TV and say, pretending they have value.
Like, I think if I was going to play that, I would ask, is there an ARK type fund, meaning very, very high beta, on top of what is emerging markets high beta, but for emerging markets? So you're playing like really, really niche companies in these emerging markets, because you don't want to be playing commodities and energy. It's just, it's never going to work out.
Yeah. And that's kind of the issue. It's like, what's different about now maybe than 20 years ago is like the dynamic of like a winner take all global economy or global talent, where it's like, we know that out of the three of us, Robert, James is the only one that can actually build models that work.
Right.
And again, at the level of the entire human species, there's probably 1,000 people that actually are engineers that can build AI or maintain it or understand it. And the rest of us are just on social media. My point is that, again, the strong get stronger, the strongest countries get stronger, the strongest companies get stronger, and they accumulate the best minds, or the best minds come from all over the world to innovate in the United States.
Right. So
human capital.
Basically, what I'm saying is, if you're looking for outperformance in emerging markets, you don't want to play it through the EEM, because that's going to be commodities and energy and financials and things of that sort.
And the problem, as ever, with trying to invest in Chinese tech is that you actually can't. When you think you're buying Alibaba, you're actually buying a piece of paper on Long Island in an ADR or something. And at any point, President Xi could nationalize Alibaba, or has already. So what do you really own, is my point, if you try to get into Chinese tech? I don't know.
Hard to say.
Yeah. To wit, on emerging technologies, it looks like crypto, the bear market is over. Bitcoin is broken 22,000. Ethereum is at 1,600. I'm just kidding. It's definitely not over. But for some perverse reason, the more bankruptcies that happen, like Gemini, the more step function price action happens in the cryptocurrency markets, which is hilarious. I'll put that in there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just guessing here, but I would think as more of these things happen, people become more and more paranoid about losing their crypto and exchanges. So if you take it off, you put it in a cold storage, you're less likely to sell it. So the volume then shifts to just buying if you're indeed still wanting exposure.
So it's hodling.
Yeah.
It's panic hodling.
Yeah.
I am a top panic hodler.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I was as well until I sold December 30th. I'm still on tilt about that one.
By the way, I thought Alex Gurevich had a really interesting analogy for Bitcoin and Ethereum. And he's a macro guy. He trades precious metals, bonds, you know, all that stuff. And he said that he agrees with Bitcoin is digital gold. And he likened Ethereum to digital copper. And that actually, if you look at the trading patterns of both, that they like resemble precious metals. And now, hopefully, we don't know. that means, yeah, obviously they're liquidity driven or whatever the hell else. But what's different about them is, or at least Bitcoin is, potentially you have an exponential adoption trend and a programmatically fixed supply. But I thought that was an elegant way to describe it. Now, do I actually understand what he means? Not really. But kind of like basically that Bitcoin is the reserve asset or the doomsday prepper asset. And Ethereum is actually the useful mineral that's used in electrification and building. And in the digital asset space, Ethereum is supposed to be the app store. So that was elegant.
Good analogy.
Yeah. James, you've read articles about this.
Yeah, you can use copper and everything. And yeah, and then gold's just the reserve. So yeah, it makes sense.
All right, so I think that settles it. It's going to the moon in 40 years. All right, Robert, I'm going to close this out. Last week, I say yeah. Start. We set up the parallel time series of the VIX versus the S&P, and that basically every time the VIX gets below 20, the S&P will approximately top out and start to roll over, and the VIX will start to retrace back up towards 30, and then you could kind of invert the trade. So UVXY was the play. It's like kind of sideways for a couple days, but it does look like this relationship is holding up. And I found another guy on Twitter who said the same thing and said it worked in 2001 to 2003. So long VIX, short S&P right now, and vice versa when the VIX gets above 30.
So did your trade rally? Because like James, mine did not execute.
Oh, well, you know, I am a stupid investor, so I put in market orders. I'm roughly flat. I got in at 548. It's 549.
Yeah, I do want to point out that this guy you're referencing, he said go short with the VIX when the VIX is low and long.
Or no, he was saying go short the S&P when the VIX is below 20.
Right. I just want to point out that he did this after we did our podcast.
Yes. Yeah. So he's a listener, clearly. As you said, Robert, content, solid gold. Not that you make money, but we have shit marketing, which is absolutely true. I don't know. How do you market? I'm going to ask ChatGPT this weekend. How do I make a successful podcast? More to come. So yeah, long story short, the bear market structure is still intact. Another failed breakout right at like 39.99 last week. Down slightly this week. Federal Reserve balance sheet shrunk a little bit. QT is going to keep going. So I mean, patience. Patience is the key.
Yeah. I'm on board. Again, my trade did not go through on, was it Monday, Tuesday? But I'm going to try again next week.
Yeah, you can get another crack at it.
Yeah. The
famous last trades were trying to time volatility shares. Very difficult. But I think if you just play levels like, you play in time the VIX is below 19, get a little bit. If it goes lower, you buy a little bit more, and then just wait. Yeah, I think probably the easiest way to do it.
Here's the beautiful thing about it, though, right? If you're wrong, nobody cares. But if you're right, you could be like Michael Burry.
That's right.
Right? Because we've all got a ton of losing trades, and no one's keeping score here.
Primarily losing trades. All right. Should I buy? I actually have one more for you. Should we be buying I-bonds? Is that something we should be doing? Or is that for Charles?
I think it's too late.
Yeah, not anymore.
Yeah, okay. Way too long. That's what I thought.
Yeah, missed our window. I didn't realize rates had fallen so much. Like, was it 2 year below 4%?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think we missed our shot.
Okay. So just keep trading volatility. That's definitely going to work.
Yeah. And I mean, if you want to get ballsy, just do a pairs trade when you do the both the VIX and the S&P. Go long the VIX, short the S&P.
It's like the same trade.
Yeah. Gets you a little extra leverage.
Mm. All right. All right. You convinced me. All you had to do was tell me. I'm in.
Yeah, I'll let you know if my trades go through. But I mean, the relationship in that chart is solid. It's hard to argue.
I am, Robert. I'm rooting for an Eagles Cowboys NFC Championship.
You want your money back?
Oh, you know I do. All right.
All right. See ya. Talk to you guys.